Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Now, this past year, 2020, has been a year like no other. A lack of social contact, unable to do the things that has brought us pleasure and relaxation our entire lives. Basically, seeing headline after headline, news story after news story of how bad it is. Mm-hmm. Many people lost hope, hope in a better future, hope that tomorrow would be better. And then the news headlines promoted that sense of hopelessness that gripped this nation and the world. And we began to see the results: increased rates of depression and suicides and substance abuse. And the list goes on and on. My guest today, from personal experience, that hope can change lives. She battled alcohol and drug addiction that began at the age of 12. And she also became pregnant at a young age and desperately needed hope. She became a believer and received the true hope in the process. Amen. Amen. Dr. Rosalind Tompkins is the founder and president of Mothers in Crisis, an IRS-approved 501c3 organization committed to linking families and communities together to provide networks of support for families to have hope-filled lives. And she's been recognized as a humanitarian for the work she's done to end drug and alcohol addiction for individuals and their families. She has a doctorate in humanities. She's recognized as a hopeologist. Amen. And she's also the author of As Long as There Is Breath in Your Body, There Is Still Hope. Help me welcome to the program, Dr. Rosalind Tompkins. Dr. Tompkins, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's such a pleasure to be with you today.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Rosalind Tompkins?
Well, I guess the first thing I have to start with is that I'm a born-again believer.
Amen.
And from that place, everything else flows. I am a mother, I'm a grandmother, I'm a wife. And I do a lot of great things just by the grace and the power of God to help spread this hope through my nonprofit organization, Mothers in Crisis. And I guess the main thing that I would say is I am a hope-filled individual, overflowing with hope.
Amen. 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 Yeah. But I want to get this straight now. You were addicted to alcohol and drugs beginning at the age of 12?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, you know, it started with, I have an older brother, and he introduced marijuana to me and my cousins, two of my cousins. And it was during the 70s and then all the way into the 80s and the early 90s. But in 87 was whenever I finally was delivered and I got clean and sober. But it was just one of those kind of peer things where it was introduced and it just progressed, as they say, the gateway drug. And it progressed throughout my time in college and my young adult life.
Mm. Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah. And then you became pregnant at a young age?
Well, whenever I was, and I talk about it in my book, As Long as There's Breath in Your Body, There's Still Hope. But whenever I was pregnant with my daughter, Janar, is when everything stopped. And yes, I was, amen. You know, I was in my 20s. I was young. And it was, she was the catalyst at that time, my baby girl, that after everything else that I'd gone through, I call it the hellhole of addiction. That when she came along, it was like, okay, I finally surrendered everything to the Lord. And that's why she is 33 and I'm 34 years clean.
Amen. So, glory to God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Did you receive any help at the time that you were dealing with all this on your own, or were you just dealing with it on your own?
I had a very good, and I always just give honor to my mother. As I say, she was the first hopeologist because she never gave up on me. She had strong faith. She always prayed and came to see about me because I wasn't living in the home or in my hometown. Mm. And I believe it was God just using her and then my extended family to help shepherd me and bring me in from that dark place that I had slipped until I could grab hold of the rope of hope for myself. And we know Jesus Christ. And when I grabbed hold of him for myself, then we were able to take off from there.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So you became a Christian at this time. And we're talking about hope. I mean, what did becoming a Christian do for you while all of this turmoil is going on in your life? I mean, how did you begin to receive that hope?
Well, I was backslidden because in the midst of all the craziness that was going on in my life, my older sister became a born-again believer, her and her husband. And they led me to Christ, and I was 17 years old.
Praise God.
I was headed to college. I was headed to Florida State, and they led me to Christ. But I backslid immediately because I wasn't ready. I wasn't through. And I had too many more life experiences that I had to go through. So actually, what happened when Janar came along, I came back from that backslidden condition.
Praise God.
And I said, I surrender. So now I was broken, and that place of brokenness led me to surrender.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And living through that difficult time is where you received your calling in life to help others find hope. How'd that work out?
Oh, yes. Purpose. Whenever I surrendered, I was broken. I surrendered to the Lord. And then Janar came along. My whole life changed. And then I was able to hear. So then I was able to hear. And what I heard was, you got to help your sisters. It started there. You're clean. You're sober. You could go on with your life. I just did an interview with someone who said to me, I told them I was 34 years, and they said, oh, that's a different lifetime ago. It's like it never happened. And then I said to them, I said, well, it's too many people that are still in the throes of addiction for me not to share my story.
Amen.
Because they need to know that there is hope. And then he was in agreement. But imagine as I came out of it, as a social worker, I finished my degree and I could have gone on. I could have gone on with my life and raised my daughter. And, you know, I was in the church and people looking at me, you could never tell. Mm-hmm. But because I heard the voice of the Lord say, you need to go and help. And it started with the children, because during that time, it was crack cocaine addiction. There was so many that was having babies that were addicted, and some in bigger cities, they were leaving babies at the hospital. And it's like, I felt the burden and I heard the cry of the children. And the Lord said, you have to help the mothers, and you can relate and not judge so that you can help the children. And so it began with that. And that was my purpose. And from there, it's just kind of gone on. I've been all over to different countries in the world. I've been able to travel to several countries in Africa, South Africa, Southern Africa, East Africa. My latest missions trip was to West Africa, Cote d'Ivoire on the Ivory Coast. That was right before everything closed down for COVID. That was in January 2020. But everywhere I've gone around this world, it's the same. People need hope. Mm-hmm. People need to know that there is hope. And whatever the situation is, it can change and it will change. And we know that it'll change through your relationship with Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Well, tell us a little bit more about Mothers in Crisis. I mean, what kind of impact have you had? What services do you offer? Things like that.
Well, I always say back in the day when I first started it, because we just celebrated 30 years this year.
Praise God.
Yeah, 30 years. So when I first started Mothers in Crisis as a grassroots community-based organization, we did a lot of different programming, wrote grants, and we had different services where we helped women, especially. And then by extension families to get into treatment programs, had different support groups, parenting groups, programs for the children, and just looking at it holistically, helping families. And over the course of about 2 decades, it was we were able to impact over 10,000 families, the official count. I know it was a lot more. And then back in 2010, things began to shift. So whenever we became 25 years old, and that was in 2016, that's whenever we started this new chapter. And this new chapter said, okay, if we look at what was it that really made a difference for us to be successful and really help all these families, and that was hope. Amen. So we began this whole hope campaign to say, okay, well, hope is needed, not just in addictions, but for every aspect of life. So we started out doing Fridays as Hope Universe Day. So every Friday, it was like Happy Hope Universe Day, and we would go out and make a difference in the community, and we would tell others and try to, you know, spread it that way. And then someone told me, you need to apply for a whole month so that you can have, you know, hope for a whole month to celebrate. And then that's when we applied to the National Day Calendar. And I was surprised that there was no month of hope. There was no celebration already. So we applied in 2017. And then in 2018, we got the designation. And so in 2018 was the first time ever that we had a national month of hope, and we celebrated. And so this is our fourth. Well, we just finished in April, our fourth year of having a whole month to celebrate hope.
That's awesome. That yeah. is awesome.
Amen. So that's what we're doing. That's pretty much what we're doing now. We are, I have a trademark with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Department, and it's for hopeologists, and it's promoting the public awareness of hope through public advocacy. So now, Mothers in Crisis, we are advocates for hope, and we're doing whatever we can to get that message out there.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That's awesome. That was awesome. What was the process like trying to get approved for the National Day of, or National Month of Hope?
Well, we had already started with the Happy Hope Universe Day on Friday. So we kind of had that as a catalyst, and we put the application in, and we just happened to do it through the National Day Calendar. I don't know how it is now. Some people told me, you know, it's a different process. But anyway, at that moment, we put in the application just by the grace of God. And they had thousands, because, you know, there's a day for everything, everything you can imagine. So there were thousands of applications that came through. It didn't cost us anything to apply. Now I understand it may be a fee. I don't know. And but we were designated. They chose, I believe it was like 37 out of the thousands, and we were one. And we just took it and ran with it because it was real to us. It wasn't just a gimmick. It was like, okay, this is a life's calling. This is a part of my purpose. Mm-hmm. So we want to get it out there. We started this public awareness campaign just to get it out there so people would know we have a month to celebrate hope.
Praise God. That is so awesome. That is an awesome story. Hey, man, wow, that was just, it was a God thing.
Yeah.
Put that idea down and then to open that door like that. I mean, yes. Only God.
Only God. Yes. We give him, you know, I always say to God be all the glory.
Yeah.
It wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't even be here today.
Praise God. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And can you share a few of the success stories with us? I'm not asking for confidential details, just some examples so our listeners can hear about some of your successes.
Well, I can think of one right off, and that is, and she doesn't mind me sharing her story because she's still a part of Mothers in Crisis all these years later. But her name is Nettie, and I'll never forget years ago when my daughter was about 4 years old, and I just kind of started Mothers in Crisis, and I was heading to Pensacola during that time. My mom was still alive, and she was living there before I moved her here with me in Tallahassee for the last 7 years of her life. But as I was driving down a particular neighborhood that was really drug infested, poverty and everything, making my way out of town, this lady knocked on the window. I was at a stop sign and she said, "Hey, hey." And so I rolled down the window. I was cautious. You know, my daughter was in the car, but she said, "Aren't you mothers in crisis? Aren't you helping women?" And, you know, and I looked at her and she had two of her front teeth was out and she looked kind of disheveled. And she said, can you help me?" She said, "I just got out of the hospital. I tried to commit suicide." And so she was telling me a little of her story. And I said to her, I said, "Well, listen, I'm headed out of town, but you tell me where you live," because we did home visits. We picked them up. We, you know, all of that. I said, "Tell me where you live. And whenever I get back to town, I'll come and see about you." And the rest is history. This woman is still a part of Mothers in Crisis. She got her recovery. She got her children. They were in the jeopardy of being turned over and just have gone through so many things in her life. But today she is still clean and sober. And I look at her as one among thousands of stories that by the grace of God, I was able to share hope and help and faith so that their lives could change.
Amen. Amen. And that's just one story.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And you know, what kind of events do you offer during the month of hope? And we forgot to mention April is the month of hope, right?
Yes, it is.
So what kind of events and things take place during the month of hope?
Well, the thing that's so exciting about it is that April is the month where it's sort of like we all, you know, we coalesce, everything kind of comes together. But hope is for all year long, all year long. So all year long, we are implementing different things to bring hope and help people become more hopeful. Right now, we have the 10,000 Balls for Hope campaign going on. And this... Wow. is a stress ball of hope. And we started this back in on last year. And then it kind of, you know, in April is whenever we just really, really exploded with it. But the 10,000 Balls for Hope campaign is getting these balls of hope, these stress balls of hope in people's hands so that instead of grinding your teeth or biting your fingernails, you can squeeze this ball. And say, as long as there's breath in my body, there's still hope.
Praise God.
And we're giving out 10,000 balls for hope throughout this whole year leading up to the next April National Month of Hope. And we're especially doing it during key holidays like Mother's Day. We went out and we gave not only stress balls, but gift certificates to Walmart and flowers to some key mothers that were going through some terrible situations. This one mother whose daughter had been had a stroke and she was paralyzed. Mm. And because of that, you know, they were going through so many problems, but people like that during key times, different holidays, we actually go out and we give gifts and we give these stress balls and we pray for them and their families. And we're doing that all year. 10,000 Balls for Hope campaign. And as a part of that, we have an essay now that's associated with it, where we have an essay contest where we'll be giving out cash prizes in April to those who are the winners of this essay contest. You can find out all the information about it by going to makeahopeconnection.com. So we have the five tenets of the whole Hope campaign, because we say now, April, we want it all. We just have this celebration and we coalesce in public awareness. But all year long, hope stands for helping others practice empowerment.
Amen.
So it's an active thing. And then it's hope for family, hope for self. So you have to learn how to become more hopeful. Think hope, take hope breaks, you know, have that place where you can be that person of hope. Then hope for family, hope for community, and then hope for the nation and the world. Praise and that's all year long.
Amen. Amen. And Tell us about your book, As Long As There's Breath in Your Body, There Is Still Hope. Tell us about your book.
Well, this book, and if I have a, you know, this is a copy of it here, As Long As There's Breath in Your Body, There's Still Hope. It's about my testimony. It's about my story, where I start from, when I began using, and I go into detail of some of the things that I went through, where I lost my mind on four different occasions because of the hallucinogenic drugs that I was using, and how I was able to make it through that. And also just some of the other things that I went through. But then it talks about hope. And then it talks about the whole hope campaign, the theory and the practice of hopeology that I've been talking about. And then I end it with several of my poems, because I am a poet, and praise I found that poetry brings hope.
Amen. Amen. So the book itself basically gives your life story and how Mothers in Crisis came to pass.
Yes. Yes, it does. It does. Every, you know, I wrote the first book, As Long As There's Breath in Your Body, There Is Hope, about 15 years ago. And then, but there was so much that had happened. And especially I wanted to talk about the Hope campaign, and I wanted to give practical ways, practical steps and strategies to become hopeful. And then I also talk about the 8 pearls of wisdom. And those were the things that I received, the life lessons that I received after going through the experience. So it kind of expanded on it. So it wasn't just so much about my story, as now it's about a whole lot of things that can really help you become more hopeful and to be able to spread the hope.
Amen. Tell us about those 8 pearls of wisdom.
Well, the 8 pearls of wisdom, and I can just tell you the top 3 that I talk about, is the power of hope, the power of love, and the power of resilience. Those are 3. And there are chapters in there that talks about, and then also the power of prayer, because I think that's where we start, because prayer is the oxygen for your hope.
Amen.
And so I just talk about how those 8 pearls of wisdom are really things now that helped me, and that helped me to stay on the right path, and that can also help others.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Powerful forces.
There it is.
And power of love. That's another one. I mean, it's all
centered around love, around the Lord, around the Word, because that's where our hope comes from.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is true. The whole Hope campaign is non-sectarian. According to the survival laws of 3, we can only live 3 seconds without hope. So it's not about, you know, politics or you know, religion. It's about the expectation that things are going to get better, that will help you to continue to breathe, continue to live, and not try to take a permanent solution to a temporary problem, which is suicide. And unfortunately, the suicide rate has been increasing in the United States over the past couple of decades now. And so this is a real problem. Now, my personal belief and what I know to be true is that Jesus is hope, and that he is and was what helped me and my hope, and in the hope of so many other believers. And I make no, you know, I have no problem sharing that. Amen. Because that is the truth.
Amen. Amen. And how can someone order a copy of your book? Is it on Amazon?
Yes, you can get it on Amazon. And I also did during 2020, I decided to go in the studio and do an Audible book I read the whole book. So you can also get it Audible and also iTunes and wherever Audible books are, as well as Amazon is the main place.
Amen. How was that experience creating your audio book?
Well, it was deep. It was reliving it all over again.
I bet.
But it was also, you know, in preparation to the next step, which is the movie. So I'm in the midst of writing the screenplay. So it was just like reliving it as I was reading it. And then I said, okay, so it's just helping me, you know, the next step now is visual.
Wow. Amen. 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 Dr. Thompson, Tompkins, this all sounds so interesting. How can someone listening to us become involved in spreading hope around their communities?
First of all, I would just encourage you to go to makeahopeconnection.com, our website. It has so much valuable information about how you can connect, how you can become a citizen of hope, how you can become more hopeful, the steps to thinking hope, the steps to having successful hope chats, making hope connections. The information is there. And then I also offer hope immersion retreat workshops. And that's either we can do it virtually, you know, especially, you know, lately we've been doing things a lot more that way, but also where I'm available to come and work with small groups to kind of help you through the process of becoming more hopeful, of being able to take this hopeology, this practice of hopeology, and create hope spheres. And see, the hope spheres are now when a whole organization is thinking hope and practicing this type of hope. And now things are moving up because you can Amen. Begin to see productivity increased. You can begin to see different solutions. That toxic environment of negativity is no longer in the atmosphere. So now the creativity that God gives us all can begin to flow. So that's the whole, you know, the concept, the goal is to be able to create these hope spheres in different families, communities, organizations, churches, because that toxicity of negativity is really killing our creativity and stunning our growth, I believe.
Amen. Amen. So if someone has a question or they'd like more information on your organization, give us that information one more time.
Yes, go to makeahopeconnection.com. All of the information is there. I would love to meet with people and share more. I'm available. This is my life's work and my life's legacy and purpose.
Praise God.
And it's not, and listen, it's not about money, believe me. You know, Amen. This is freely I receive, freely I give. So this is what this is all about. It's really, really, really about promoting hope and advocating for hope.
Amen. Amen. I'll put links to all this down in the show notes below. Folks, as we said at the beginning of the program, this past year has been one in which hope was basically lost for many people in our society today. But it doesn't have to stay that way. Sometimes all they need is you. And all you need is to be able to give hope to someone else. And suddenly, you find hope in the process as well, because you're helping others. And I urge you to get in touch with Dr. Tompkins and her organization, Mothers in Crisis. You need this information. You need to support organizations like Mothers in Crisis. One way you can do that is by ordering Dr. Tompkins' latest book, As Long as There Is Breath in Your Body, There Is Still Hope. Use the links down below in the show notes. Order a book. In fact, I'd recommend you order two or three copies and sow them in the lives of others. I mean, you never know whose life you're going to impact. You never know who will receive that one ray of hope that the Lord would have you in position to provide. Order your copies today, and don't forget to click the link to receive more information on Mothers in Crisis as well. Dr. Tompkins, I want to thank you for coming on the program today and sharing all about your organization and this great book you've published. I do appreciate your time and your work to provide hope to a hurting world.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks for all you do. And thanks for your service that you have provided over your lifetime. And now what you're doing now, it's a blessing. And it's hopeful. So that's good.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Dr. Rosalind Tompkins and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, as long as there's breath in your body, there is still hope. Be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard. Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.